months. But wow, I think we've seen the biggest puddle of water at our property than I've ever seen. So it's either a lot of water or it came too fast. So who knows? It's probably a little bit of both. But God is so good. It's such a blessing to see how he has just turned the land around. I was driving by the Mitchell area where they had that fire last year, and it's just green and just wow, what a beautiful sight to see that. But here's the thing: God can do the same in your life as he does to the dry and weary land, and that's what I prayed earlier with our worship team, that God will just restore and refresh people the way he's already done with the land around us. I believe that is a vision and a testimony of what God can do in our lives. Amen. So let's just keep praying for more of his outpouring, not just in the physical way that blesses the countryside, but in our hearts. Amen. Why don't you stand with me as we open with prayer and just invite his presence to speak to us and that he will receive our praise. Lord God, thank you. Thank you so much for loving us and for just doing all that you do to bless your children and to bless the people that are willing to sacrifice so much to serve. And I just pray, Lord God, that you will continue to lead us and guide us as only you can, that you will lead us in your way and that we will turn away from our ways and just listen to your Holy Spirit and that you would always have a place in our hearts and our minds each and every day. We pray a blessing on each and every one who is here today, visiting families. What a great joy and blessing it is. We're thankful for this nation, that we have freedom, that we are able to celebrate and worship without fear. So many places in the world don't have that. And so we just thank you, Lord, for blessing this country, this United States of America. And we do pray for safe celebrations all across the way. I heard on the radio, Lord, it's the most dangerous day in the entire year is the 4th of July. So, Lord, we pray for your protection, for safety, for all of the activities, and for those guys that like to push the limits, help them to think smarter. Lord, we just pray your blessing on this time, and we just give thanks and praise to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I quit doing fireworks, so I don't have to worry about my extremes. I was at a fireworks show in a small community, and it was pretty cool. And they allowed not the bottle rockets, those were illegal, but the big rockets were okay. How many know that makes no sense at all? And so I bought all these big rockets, and Tina's like, are you sure that's legal? I said, oh, hey, say it's legal. And so I was the little show before the big show in our community, and I shot my big rocket and went up in the air about 20 feet and went straight at the fire department that was putting on the show. Boom, right over their heads. And they're like, whoa, they're looking around, and all the crowd goes, ooh. And then I was like, sorry. And that will never happen again. So I lit another one. Same thing. I decided I better stop. My brother was there, and he's like, are you sure you're gonna get arrested? Thankfully, nobody did anything to me. But yeah, it's a wonderful day of celebration. Be safe. But today we're going to honor the Lord, and so let's just bless him. And sometimes we go through trials, testings, and we're like, Lord, where are you? And we feel like we're waiting and waiting. Well, that's what this song is about. But it's got an uplifting tempo. Let's give thanks to God as we sing together. I wait. pray that you have heard from the Lord as you've prayed to him as well. Hallelujah. How are you at listening to the Lord? How are you at obeying the leading of the Holy Spirit? It's not always easy to say yes to what God's trying to do. Sometimes you want to go when he says stop. Sometimes you want to stop and he says go. Been there, done that, right? But you will never have the peace of the soul as you will from obeying him compared to disobeying. When you drag your feet, when you fuss and you pout, and you don't want to be involved in what he's trying to do, it's going to be a rough time. But you can face the most difficult thing in all the world and be at peace when you're doing what he's called for you to be a part of. And so I just pray that you'll listen to the song and that you'll sing it with your heart's cry, that you will follow him as well. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Hallelujah. Lord God, as we prepare to just give unto you and just thank you for the provisions you've provided for us, may this opportunity to give today be a blessing unto you and further your kingdom, Lord, as we are able to do things because of the faithfulness of your children. We just pray a blessing on each and every giver, and thank you for the opportunity, whether it's here in person, whether it's online, however it may be through the week. So many give, you know, just whenever it works out best for them on their calendar. Lord, we're just thankful that we have that privilege to give. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we continue to worship, the offering plates here are available for you to use. Of course, we always have the online opportunity as well, if that's what you prefer. So as we sing, you can be a part of the offering time as well. Won't forget the wonder of how you brought deliverance, the exodus of my heart. You found me, you freed me, held back the waters for my release. Oh, Yahweh, 'cause you're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're torn apart the sea, you have led me through the deep. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Cloud by day is a sign that you are with me. Fire by night is a guiding light to my feet. You found me, you freed me, held back the waters for my release. Oh, Yahweh, you're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea, you have led me through the deep. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Whoa. Cause you stepped into my Egypt, you took me by the hand, you marched me out in freedom into the promised land. And now I will not forget you, God. I'll sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. 'Cause you stepped into my Egypt, you took me by the hand, you marched me out in freedom into the promised land. And now I will not forget you, God. I'll sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. You're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Stepped into my Egypt, you took me by the hand, you marched me out in freedom
into the promised land.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for that freedom that you give us. That we can walk into your promised land. We don't have to wait for eternity, but we can experience your kingdom here on this earth. Your peace, your joy, freedom in you, no more bondage. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us out of that place of bondage and strife, working for the enemy. We no longer have to do that, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we work for you. Now we do your bidding. Thank you, Jesus.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you I long to worship thee.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This next song is one that I don't consider a worship song. And I often have old traditional tendencies with the way I pick music. And so I hesitated to put this in the line, but I felt led by the Spirit to do it. And I thought, well, God knows what he's doing. I mean, I've experienced the joyful mourning, I guess you could say, of having loved ones, friends pass that are now in the presence of the Lord. And we've had family here who have passed and gone before us. And this is the time of year where we often think about those that died fighting for our freedoms, and certainly America and what we stand for in so many ways. I didn't understand it still, but I said, Lord, I'll do it, and I'll put it there and end with this song. And then after I was home, not for very long, I don't remember what time it was, I saw a post from Garrett Fryer, who is good friend, leader of Trinity Bible College, and he shared he's going to miss his good friend and ministry partner, Cal Thompson. And I thought, what? Where's Cal moving to? Well, he's moving on. 66 years old, been a youth pastor for 40 years or so, maybe more, doing some special ministry as of late because he stepped aside from that role and was doing a special ministry. And I thought, why? Lord, I mean, goodness. Well, Cal doesn't have to imagine what it's like to be in the presence of Jesus. Your loved one that you're thinking of right now is there and knows him without that dark glass, that poor reflection, that see-through clear understanding of who the Lord truly is in his fullness. And so this song I'm going to dedicate to my friend Cal, although I haven't seen him for so many years. He is a friend, along with others who have passed, loved ones who are family among us. But this is the promise that we have, the hope of what we have to look forward to as well. It's not a worship song, but so many people know it, and they sing along in the car. So if you can, if you will, join with me in singing this song, I Can Only Imagine. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? You're in awe of you, be still. Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. By your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. Hallelujah.
And what an imagine it is, Lord. You've given us enough insight to know a little bit, just a little taste of your goodness, your holiness, your righteousness, your grace, your mercy, your love, forgiveness, all of those things, joy, the hope of all glory. And Lord, while we only see just a little bit of what is to come, we're thankful that our loved ones are experiencing it in full. We're thankful that we have that to look forward to. And we give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be together in the house of the Lord, and I'm excited about what God has given me today. It's going to be a challenge, so brace yourself. Everybody put on your seatbelts. Anybody got some steel-toed boots? You might need them today. You'll never know, but we have so much to be thankful for, and while I haven't made this a tremendous theme this particular Sunday about our independence as a country, I do want to express thanks to God for this place in which we can live. The beautiful country of ours and Montana is such a great place to be. I've lived in 5 states, and they're all good. And I found something pretty cool. God is with me every place I've lived. And you're going to experience that, and you have, because you know I've heard it in every state. Oh, this is God's country. I'm like, yeah, He owns it all. And so it's wonderful to be together and to celebrate our freedom as a country. But I really have a hard time not going to the focus of God, Almighty God. It's for Him that we celebrate. And it's because of His great love and kindness that we have a country in which we can live and serve. There are places in the world where it's illegal. It's against the local laws. In order to worship God, you are taking your life at risk, possibility of not only death, but at least excommunications from the area and extreme persecutions. And God is God there too. And that's hard for Americans to grasp. Even when you don't have freedom, God is still God. And so I want to just focus on that for a moment, that we are so blessed and we don't deserve it. Honestly, we just don't. No one does. But God, in His mercy and in kindness and in His great and awesome and confusing plan, has put things into order as they are. Obviously, our country is under attack constantly by different positions that are contrary to God's word and what we believe, and yet we can still trust Him in all things. So I just wanted to share that just briefly to just say thank you to those who have served. I know we have some military veterans who are present. God bless you. Is it okay to have people stand that have served the country? Is that okay? Anybody that served in the military of any branch, would you mind standing? And we just want to say thank you. All right, awesome. Look at this. I don't know why it was this way, but every single one was on this side of the church. So I don't know what that says over here. but for those of you who are online, you didn't see that. But that was pretty awesome. There was like six or seven guys that stood up and nobody on this side. So it's like, okay, we got work to do over here. But hey, no, we're good. I want to make some quick announcements and we'll dismiss the kids for Kids Church. And so one of the things that I didn't write down, I want to say it while I'm remembering. We have a children's leadership meeting on July 14th, 6:30, and is that a Thursday night then? Okay, so thank you, MJ. We do have family camp that's going on at Hungry Horse near Glacier National Park there, and that is something that Doug and Beth are already taking in, and they will be back in time for Doug to speak next week because Tina and I are going to family camp, and then we're going to stay there and just hang out for a couple more weeks after family camp's over. So you're going to, I know you're going to miss us, but you'll get over it, right? So you'll be okay. No. So we're going to actually be gone until the last week of July, Tina and I will. So Doug Gentry will be speaking next Sunday and the following Sunday, and Pastor Emma Curtis will be speaking on the 24th. So you'll have that to look forward to with guest speakers, and just be preparing to listen and hear from the Lord. Family camp's going on. High school campus, the 10th through the 16th. You have your bulletin. You can see that. We have a lot of things that are not happening this week. One of those is dinner church. The facility that we've been using, the Legion Hall, is not available. And Doug and I are both gone, so it just worked out really well to just have 1 week without dinner church for the community this week. Ladies' coffee, you see the schedule there at Mikoshika. Board meeting is pushed back to the last week, Ladies' Craft Night. All those details are there for you to enjoy as those that attend this church regularly. So there you go. Kids can be dismissed. Go to Kids Church in MJ. You got your helper, I see. Oh, you got a bunch of helpers. 19 kids. Hallelujah. That's awesome. We like that. We like kids. All right, so while they're going, we're going to talk about row versus love. Row versus love. Now, that might seem a little odd because you know that it's row versus Wade. And I don't know how familiar you are with the background to row versus Wade and all that took place that basically caused a unconstitutional decision by the courts to decide for the states what they can or cannot do. That has finally been recognized as unconstitutional, and the Supreme Court overturned it. Now, there is some extreme reactions that are happening where people are shouting in anger and just venomous actions, saying that we have taken away the rights of women. Well, not only is that not true as far as rights go, I think we can debate human rights and when you are a human and when you're not. I think that's a viable and healthy debate that should take place about when life begins. I believe it begins at conception. Some would oppose that, but at least we can have a conversation. That is not what happened with Roe versus Wade's ending. What happened is they kicked it back to the states. And the states now can vote on whether or not they want to allow abortion in their state. And, of course, that is the truth of what took place. Nevertheless, this is a pivotal point in American history that I think we can celebrate, but we're going to celebrate with a different perception than maybe you were celebrating up until today. So be ready, because I have a challenge for you, and I hope that you are open in your heart to receiving it. James chapter 1, verse 25. I'll begin by reading some scripture from James, and then we will go to prayer and ask God to just really bless and encourage each and every one of us. But the one who looks into the perfect law, you can say complete law if you will, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Well, that's pretty much saying it like it is, isn't it? So one might ask the question based upon this expression, if you can't stop talking nasty, then maybe your religion is worthless. Maybe your so-called salvation isn't valid, could be another way of saying it. Someone might ask, well, then what would validate my salvation? What would show that I'm truly a follower of Jesus Christ, Father God, the Trinity, God who is three in one? Verse 27 says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God, that the Father, is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. I mean, what? That's it? Well, there's certainly got to be more to it than that. Well, let's look at James chapter 2, verse 14, and begin there. It says, what good is it, my brother, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Well, that now we're just meddling a little bit, aren't we? Someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe, and they shudder. Do you want to be shown you are a foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works. And faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. I mean, we have been selling a bill of goods for quite some time in the Salvation Culture Church. And I've preached about that. I've taught about it. That we have this mentality to say, just ask Jesus into your heart, pray this prayer with me, and you're saved. And people have said, yeah, I don't want to go to hell. I'll dodge that bullet. And they pray the prayer. We say, hallelujah, praise God, you're born again. And that person just goes on living life as if nothing ever happened because nothing ever did. James is challenging that perception and that perspective. You say you're born again. You say you're a believer, and yet what are you doing? And he addresses some of those things. If I were to take the whole chapter in all of the book of James, you would find out that the rich were treated better than the poor. That status was everything. That people really didn't want to help people. They just want to say, go be blessed. And they think someone else will take care of them. Some of them said, you know what? I want to be a teacher. I want to be a leader. I want to be a pastor. But don't do it. Because the guy standing here is held to a higher accountability when it comes to the Word of God and how it's expressed and taught. That's me. I'm taking on a bigger responsibility because I'm telling you what God's Word says. And do not do this lightheartedly, because the challenge of what it is and the responsibility therein is pretty tremendous. And so James addressed that as well. Who is this James? He is the half-brother of Jesus. He is the one that grew up in the home where Jesus was perfect, literally. How many times have I asked this question? about what that must have looked like. Why can't you be more like your brother Jesus? James is standing there, but he's God. I mean, come on, Ma. It's not fair. Well, life isn't fair. Get over it. And Jesus is like, do no wrong. I mean, how sick is that as a brother? Come on. I'm thankful for a normal brother that did all kinds of stuff to pave the way for what not to do. Thank you, Kyle. Oops, bad. Don't do that one. Trouble. Trouble's coming. This is the man that got born again, saved, spirit-filled, who was the brother of the man that grew up in the home, who was Jesus of Nazareth, God incarnate. You think it's hard for the person in this day and culture to be saved, to repent, to be humble, and to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because of pride? How much more difficult is it to be the brother and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I want to serve you with all my heart, all my days, all my life. I will do as your Spirit says. I will absolutely, without hesitation, follow the call of your lead, Lord Jesus of Nazareth, who happens to be my half-brother. You think it was hard for you to repent? How much harder was it for him? And he's the one teaching us of what we should or shouldn't be doing and calling ourselves believers. You see that faith was active along with his works, he said in verse 22. He didn't just say he believed, he actually showed his faith by what he did. Jumping down to verse 25, in the same way was also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by one by another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. What a humbling thought. Lord, we need to find a way to love in a way we've never loved before. We need to stop judging. We need to stop standing with a dogmatic voice of triumph and saying, I'm right, you're wrong. We need to humble ourselves as you did. To put ourselves in a place of mercy and grace. To reach out to these people who are frantic and terrified. Help us, Lord, to see your way. Help us, Lord, to be better than what we've been. In Jesus' name, amen. Believers all across America are celebrating the end of Roe versus Wade. It's truly heartbreaking to see the hate, the anger, because of the perception of the choice to kill children in the womb has been taken away from them. Now, that is only a perception. In so many cases. Now, in some states, there was a trigger law that immediately took place, and no longer can you have that abortion in the states of which had that, but still you can find your way to another clinic somewhere. If you understand what's truly happening, the choice is being put back into the hands of each state. I stated that, we understand it. Abortion will continue. You need to understand this. It is going to continue in many states. While some will gladly wash their hands of it altogether, and while this is a great victory, don't get me wrong, it's a victory for life and for innocence, it is also a call to stand up and love. We need to stand up and we need to love like we've never loved before. And I challenge you with this statement, with gladness rejoice, with compassion love. And I'm going to just cover a few simple points. Why did we come so far? When it comes to this right to choice, this abortion on demand, this access, in some cases, all the way up to the 9-month term, which I cannot hardly even pretend to fathom, how could we have gotten so far down this path? And I think it's a fair question. Turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 3, we'll start there. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and placed her in the midst. They said to him, this is speaking to the Lord, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery." Now imagine, if you will, this is not just an adulterous situation. Let's say that this girl is pregnant and she's about to abort her child. Hypothetically speaking, of course, but just imagine, if you will, that this is the situation. She's caught in adultery. She is on her way to the clinic. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down, wrote with his finger on the ground, and I don't know what he wrote. If anybody tells you what he wrote, they're probably not actually fully understanding either. We can speculate. Maybe he is doing tic-tac-toe. Probably not. He wrote on the ground. What's important is what he says. He continued and asked him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." You see where we're going with this? Once more he bent, wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away one by one. And I like this. Beginning with the older ones. And then Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and he said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go from now on and sin no more." Now you have to understand that these Pharisees, these teachers of the law, these religious leaders had the law on their side. They had every right, according to the law of Moses, to do what they were doing, but their hearts were dark and wrong. And here's the trouble. We are absolutely right to say that life begins at conception. We are absolutely on the right side of this choice on whether or not to take a life or let that life continue, and hopefully that child will have a quality life either through the mother that raises him or her, or an adoptive family, or another family member. The problem is, while we are right, we forget that there's a human being in front of us that is hurting, that is desperately in need of someone to tell them there is hope. And what do they hear from us but judgment? What they hear from us is to be stoned to death because of the choice that they are making. Now, we wouldn't say that in a literal way, but we do say it in a way that is hurtful in destroying the character and the person that God loves. And while the judgment of these leaders is upon the woman who was caught in the act of a sin, and I don't know how that was. Was that a sting operation? I don't get it. We don't know all the details, but what were they doing catching her in the act in the first place? You just don't know. But here they are demonstrating their righteousness before the Lord, and they find out that maybe they're not right after all. Meaning, I too have sin in my own life. Who am I to cast the first stone? And after recognizing the truth of what Jesus brought to their attention, one by one they slowly walked away. Not to say that what she was doing was right. Jesus never condoned that. But the harsh reality of the judgment of hateful people was eliminated. And one by one, the older figured it out earlier than the younger. I don't know what that says other than there is such a thing as wisdom with age. They recognize the truth. So let me say this. Many in this culture today choose to hide rather than face the judgment of this world. And how do they choose to hide? They choose abortion. They choose to take the life of that child in the womb rather than face the judgment of their culture. But more than that, they also hide from you. They are hiding from me because they are afraid to be pointed out, to be looked down upon like these Pharisees did to this woman. They are afraid of how we will look down upon them because of their sin. And they hide from religious people. And while I want to stop every young woman, whatever age woman, from going to the clinic where abortions are still available, I want them to choose a better way. I want them to take that child to term and provide them for someone who has been waiting for years for an adoptive opportunity. I want them to have the opportunities to say, you know what, I may not have the resources, but because of this person, I can. Because of this person that loves me enough to help me with all of my expenses, I can take this child. I can raise. I pray that they would find some way in this society, in this world today, that they would have another opportunity, another choice, rather than hide from you and me, afraid of our judgment. Because we don't know how to love. The question is this: what is Jesus writing in the sand for you? I know what he writes for me. I know where I fail. I know where I'm weak. And he writes that in the sand and says, hey, Kevin, remember? I forgave you. Where is your forgiveness? Now, you might say, well, if I can stop her from going to that clinic, if I can stop him from pressuring her to go, if I can stop the parents of that child from going, then I can forgive. But how about after the abortion has taken place? Can you forgive her now? Can you come to her and him and embrace them and give them the love and grace and mercy and kindness of Jesus Christ even after it's over? I pray you can. I pray I will. Roe versus love. Yeah, we're right, but so were they. And Jesus called them out. I say we love more and quit judging the world. That's what I say. I'm thankful for laws that can protect the innocent, and I pray that we can see more of that happening. But when it comes right down to it, we need to find ways to loving the people that are so hatefully angry at us. They blame you, they blame me for this overturning. Those extreme terrorist, right-wing, radical, born-again believers, that's who did this to us. And in some ways, they're right. But what's sad to me is they don't know me by my love. They only know me by my judgment. And I say that with a very broad me expression because I have worked very hard to allow the Holy Spirit to give me the love for people that are hurting, even if this was their choice. Will you join me in recognizing that you and I are just like those men that walked away one by one and recognize I need to love rather than judge? How do we love? Well, James addressed it. I already read it as the text. Basically, James says, if you truly love God, prove it. Well, how do you do that? Well, it's simple. In that culture, well, let me say this first. Love, by the way, is not a feeling. If I ever hear you say, well, I don't feel like loving, I say, I don't care. When did love ever become a feeling? Well, Hollywood made it a feeling, probably, or maybe Hallmark Channel. Ooh, I feel love. Well, maybe that was what you ate. I don't know. Feelings are so fickle, don't trust them. Love is a decision. You choose love. Love doesn't happen to you. You know, in some situations, that's lust. That's not love. That's a natural response. You know, my dog loves me. Well, I feed him. I don't know if I would quite characterize it as love. He's very loyal, you know, and I'm his guy, right? I mean, he's like, absolutely. I'm the number one. But is that love? Now, animal lovers will say, of course that's love. Well, that's fine. You can say that if you want. I don't know that my dog was made in the image of God, but, you know, that was sarcasm. But James is saying, if you'd really love, you need to prove it. Well, I don't feel like it. So? Do you feel like tithing every time you do? Do you feel like giving above and beyond every time you do? Probably not. If you do, then you're probably not a very faithful tither. I'm just saying. In that culture, it was up to the community of that village or that town to take care of the widows and the orphans. They did not have a source of income. They needed help. They needed provisions. And so Jesus isn't even asking the church to do something outside of their own culture. He's actually saying, do what your culture demands. What is that? Well, if you really love, if you're really a follower of God, then you will just obviously take care of the widows and the orphans because that's what you do. That's what our culture does. If you can't even keep up with your own culture, there's a problem. And there was a problem because they weren't doing that. So they didn't have life insurances. They didn't have welfare programs like we have today. The community was responsible. Our culture is a little different. We do have life insurance. We do have welfare provisions for people that are in need, but that does not mean people don't need our support and our help. I would say that the culture of what really stands out in that culture and how it relates to this culture is like this. You really love God? Take care of the pregnant girl. Reach out to her with love rather than judgment. Take care of the single moms that are really struggling to make ends meet. Take care of the centers that are there for the women that are considering their options as far as whether to take the child to full term, to raise the child, to put the child up for adoption, and even in those situations they consider abortion. Take care of the care centers that are leading the girls in a better direction. What are we doing to help them? How about this one? This is the toe-stepping thing. How about foster a kid? Let me tell you something quite straight. I have heard it 100 times, if not 1,000 times. That must be really hard. Yes, it is. So, what would this world be? I'm just hypothetical here. What would this world be if every Christian family was open and licensed to foster a child? I'm just asking the hypothetical. Because I honestly think it's more likely God would rather have all of us licensed to do so than only one or two. Because there's a great need. Well, there's other families, right? There's other families that can do that. Yes, there are. Are they going to lead that child to a saving grace of Jesus Christ? Are they going to take that child to a place where they're going to hear the love of God and His mercy and His kindness and see them baptized in water and be born again and forever and ever be part of the family of God? But we're short on those families in the foster care system. So maybe, just maybe, we should stop talking about how we feel about things and start doing what God says to do. Take care of the widows and the orphans. Well, how does that relate to us? I believe that means take care of the poor girl that's terrified about bringing this child into this world. Take care of that poor girl that doesn't think she has another option. She can't afford to take a child. She's only 14 years old, for crying out loud. Well, maybe, just maybe, you could take her into your home and help her bring this child into this world and support her until that child is a young and healthy child. Maybe, just maybe, that's what we should be doing as a church. rather than telling her how terrible a person she is because she's considering abortion. My heart grieves to know how many young people in this community are desperate for a meal, for a bed. But I'm so thankful they were not aborted, because they have a fighting chance to hear the love of Jesus Christ from you and from me. Luke chapter 7. Can I just be real frank? I mean, honestly, I've already been frank. Sorry. that was some pretty tough stuff. I'll admit, that was, whoa. Kevin, what are you doing? I'm a selfish person. I like to do my stuff. I like to hunt. I like to play disc golf. I like to do things when I want to do them. I like to eat food that I like. That's who I am. You want to know how many times a day I have to say no to my selfishness? It's probably going to shock you. I don't keep track. I do that on purpose. I don't want to know how many times. But I do know this, that Jesus told me to take up my cross every day. Why? Because I keep getting in the way of what God wants to do. And so when I open my home to someone, it's because God says so. And I find out that my way of peace and my way of joy is to say yes to God. And I can honestly say that while I would say, I didn't choose this, this wasn't my plan, I love His plan. I love that I can do His plan and love people that I wouldn't have had an opportunity to love if He didn't say, open your door. So yes, it is hard, but it's absolutely worth every little sacrifice. It is not easy to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It's not meant to be. It's supposed to be hard. That's what I heard from John Voight on Tucker Carlson's little highlight. And I watched that interview a while back. How would you like to be a Christian in Hollywood right now? That'd be tough. Luke chapter 7, verse 37. Behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair and in his head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the anointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. She's done terrible things. Once again, I want you to put our culture into the story. Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Oh, I don't know if that's exactly how it would have been in the original language, but that's cool. I like that. Usually, if my dad were to say that, I want to go the other way, right? I got something to say to you. Hold that thought. I'll be back next week. Okay, that sounds good. But he answers, say it, teacher. And then he tells a story. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, from whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? Well, that was kind of obvious. I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. And by the way, culture is, before you eat, you wash your feet. If you've ever been in that culture or experienced it, you sit on the floor and you cross your legs in front of you and the table is about 6 inches off the ground. Your toes are practically in your food. So it is customary when you eat to wash your feet. How many know that your big, ugly, dirty toes could be a nasty flavor if you happen to get food on it? And, oh, sorry, let me lick that off. Gross. Like my daughter would say, toe jam. Ugh. Yeesh. Well, no, you wash your feet, of course. But Jesus says, hey, the most common custom of all is to come into a home for a meal and you wash the feet of the person that's visiting, or at least offer them water for their feet. He gave him no water. And yet she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair, he says. You gave me no kiss. That's not a kiss that's strange. That's like a shaking of the hand. Welcoming, hey, I'm so glad you're here. Well, they kiss on the cheeks. We've seen that culture. We've seen it in different ways. So you didn't even offer me a kiss. From the time I came in, she's not ceased kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with anointment. Therefore, I will tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. You've seen the video of the people picketing, practically blaspheming, vulgar language, hateful actions, just horrible, terrible scenes because they're angry about what's just happened with Roe versus Wade. I plead with you, find your way to recognizing this is a lost soul that needs Jesus. This is a woman who will kiss the feet of Jesus when she finds his grace, having been lost and is now found. Those who were at the table with him said among themselves, who is this who can even forgive sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So we have this question, why did we come so far? Unfortunately, I think we're partly to blame. We have been so judgmental and so harsh about our rightness that we forgot that there's a person that's hurting that needs Jesus' love and mercy. And maybe if we would have opened up our pocketbooks and said, I will help you if finances are your concern. I will help you come into my home and let's raise this child together. Maybe, just maybe, some of these women would have found love rather than judgment and grace rather than hate. Now here's the thing. Most people, well, the three points were, why did we go so far? How do we love? Well, I just explained it. It's hard. I mean, you can say to the person on the street, hey, God bless you. I pray you have a good day. Well, that's the same thing James addressed. Go, be well, well-fed, without actually providing anything. How about we say, may I bless you, rather than God bless you? How can I be of help, rather than I hope you find help? I mean, seriously, we're so celebratory about Roe versus Wade ending, and yet do we have a plan to help these young women who no longer have access and they're going to go to another state or they're going to find the kindness and the mercy of God's love? We need to find a way that we can be a part of reaching these hurting people rather than judging them. Most people, so the pain of abortion is the last thing I want to address, and it'll just take a few minutes. Most people speak to the obvious. And honestly, I don't want you to misunderstand this statement, but it's going to be hard for you not to, so I just take that with a grain of salt. Most people speak to the obvious with abortion, that children will never see the light of day. I mean, that's the obvious, right? But did you know there is an even greater casualty of abortion that we seem to forget? Now you might ask, well, what's greater than the casualty of death of a child? Well, there is something greater, unfortunately. Because here's my belief, and I think this is your belief. We believe that each aborted child is with Father God in his presence today. Now, I'm not condoning abortion, but I am saying this: that child is with Jesus today. How many millions of followers and worshipers around the throne that will be there when we come are part of that society of those who were aborted? And they are loving God with their full and honest, sincere hearts. They never had a chance to live, but they're living in the presence of God because they are a soul that found the grace and mercy and kindness of our living God. We believe this is true. So there's a greater casualty, and that is those who abort their child. How many times have you had opportunity to hear the regrets, the anguish, the guilt of young women who still to this day have nightmares about the killing of an unborn child? The mother is a casualty of abortion more than the child is. I know that sounds wrong, and yet it's true, because that person who is at the age of understanding has the rights and the will and the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But when they're running away from His judgment, and after having committed an abortion and dealing with the grief and the sorrow, they may not come to that saving grace, and they are lost for all of eternity. Eternal damnation is greater of a casualty than the unborn child who is with Jesus today. And I never hear anybody say that, and that bothers me. I've never heard a politician say it, and that bothers me. I don't hear very many preachers say it, and that bothers me. Because I believe it bothers the heart of God. There is a mother that is hurting that needs His grace. They need to hear and know the love of God, and that comes from you and that comes from me. We have fathers of the aborted child that has been lost to them that is grieving as well. All who pressured for that abortion, it could be a parent, it could be a mother, it could be a father of that young lady. They are casualties of taking the life of the innocents. When they find His grace and His forgiveness, they are like the woman at the feet of Jesus, weeping, washing, and kissing. Because great is their love and their joy for having been so far removed from His love at that time in their life. Will you help me reach them? Will you help me find a way to love them? Whether it's before or after that decision has been made. I saw what I thought was a young Christian girl share a little bit on social media who is angry about this Roe versus Wade situation. And she was venomously acting out against the church with her words, comparing the abortion of the sin of the abortion, as we say it, to other sins that we commit as church people and don't think anything of it. You know, like gossip. Well, what's gossip? You know, it's just a frosting covered prayer request. I have had many people ask me, why don't we do public prayer anymore? Well, because there is a problem of gossip. Not here. No, never here, right? But in general. And you might say, well, that hardly ever happens. Well, if it happens once, that's too much. And so I do limit that in a public forum, because sometimes somebody in their goodness of their heart shares something that's gossip in a prayer request, and I just can't do that. That's part of it. Gossip is a sin. Oh, but that's just a little sin. And we can go on, you know, gluttony, of course. We don't worry about that one, because it's an all-you-can-eat buffet, and I got to get my money's worth. Come on. You're not smiling. Come on, you got to lighten up just a little bit. And of course, We can go on and go into deeper and more challenging sins that we have been a part of, or friends or loved ones that have been a part of, and say, but this one, oh, they all pale in comparison to abortion. And you might be right. You might be right, but is it right to not love the person and only judge? No, it's not right. Jesus performed the greatest example when he says to the woman, "Where are your accusers?" And they were gone. And he says, "Your sins are forgiven." He had the right of the law of God, of which he wrote, by the way, to judge her according to his own law. And he didn't. Why? Because it was better to love her than to judge her. Maybe we should take that to heart and find ways to love rather than judge when we deal with this very challenging, difficult thing in our society. The question has to be asked, how many choose abortion to avoid your judgment? My judgment. Maybe they don't know they'll receive love if we know. And that's part of the problem. Why wouldn't they know? I mean, you can argue, well, I would have loved them if they would have told me. Well, why didn't they know that? Why don't they know that the church is going to love? Because we're really good at judging. We're not so good at loving. Well, what is love after all? Well, taking care of widows and orphans. I mean, putting your actual love into action and doing things that benefit others other than you. Coming to church and worshiping together, we get that wonderful experience of God's love, and we walk away fulfilled and blessed. And we say, we had a really good church service today, and that's great. I'm glad. But it's not about you. It really isn't. It's still about him. You need to ask yourself, was God really blessed by my presence today? Was he filled with joy because of how I came without any hesitation to just love him with all my heart and just pour out my joy into his life? Because really, that's what it's about. It's about blessing him. But so often we get it upside down and we think it's about him blessing us. Well, loving people is hard. Loving people is sacrifice. And it's worth every little bit you give. Trust me. Some in the world have said these in so many words, put up or shut up. They've literally said that now, some of these picketers. You say you have God on your side. Well, show it. Prove it. Okay. I'll take that challenge. Will you join me? What can we do to help young mothers that lack hope? That is only one specific area of probably 100 different areas that we could focus on today. But because of Roe versus Wade, I wanted to address this. The Holy Spirit led me to share this challenge. And so I'm going to end with this challenge in this conclusion. So brace yourself. It's going to hit hard, fast, and then we're going to be able to leave this place and mull it over, pray about it, and come back and know that God's right. Amen? You ready? Here it is. I don't want to know how glad you are about the ending of Roe versus Wade if you cannot back up your gladness with action. I don't want to hear it. And I'm going to challenge you. Brace yourself. If you have a spare room and you love Jesus, foster a child. That's it. There you go. Or at least do respite care. There's a lack of that too. Sometimes foster parents need a break. Been there. And there's nowhere for the kids to go. Why? Because nobody wants to take that challenge. So how about we step up as a church? And the funny thing is, you could say, well, it's easy for you to say, no, you know, been doing it, right? We're in this, all in. Why? Because the Holy Spirit said so. When I said yes few years back, 3 years ago now, maybe a little more, when Mrs. Larson was here, I was a little upset with her. But not really her. I was more upset with God. Because honestly, at that point, I was like, not going to do it. And the Holy Spirit came upon me and convicted my selfish pride and says, you're going to do this. And I'm like, oh, I'll be open to it. 2 weeks later, we had three girls in our house. I'm open. Good. Bam. Here you go. All right. So there you go. The challenge has been given. If you cannot love in that way, you don't have a spare bedroom. Sponsor a pregnancy. What does that mean? I don't know. Maybe they have no way of paying for that. Well, they have welfare, but there's more needs than that. And by the way, caring for someone's needs is more than financial and material. They need support, a loving person to walk with them through the challenge. I don't know how to even get access to people that need that kind of love, but God can lead us there, can't He? God can direct you to the very person that needs that love and grace and forgiveness and just help. I believe God is bigger than any program. Sponsor a pregnancy, give generously to a pregnancy center. Some of you say, well, I can't give. I don't have a room. All right? If you can't do that, ask God what you can do. What can you do to help this culture of lost people that are without hope and they are frantic and desperate? It's more than just those that are considering abortion. It's expanding that into the reality that there are people that have taken their children into this world and they can't care for them. What can you do to help them? What can you do to help that parent to become a better parent? Maybe you can teach and model and befriend in such a way that they will learn from you and be able to be a healthy home. There really is no limit to what God can do through a church and a family that is open to saying, I'm ready to do more than just judge. I'm ready to love. And I do want to say this in closing. We have been very blessed with the young people we've had in our home to bring them here where they have been welcomed, they have been embraced, and they have found the love of Jesus Christ in you. I'm not saying you're not doing that. You are. But is there a way that you can do it in a more personal way in your own life? Beyond blessing those who are in my home. And there will be more along the way that we will bring to your gatherings to find not just the love of God through me and through Tina, but through you as well. You've been very faithful in that. Thank you. Some of you have given blessings of gifts, whether it's financial or materials that you've done or made. You've been great. So just know that. But I believe because of what's happening right now in our country, the church is being called to greater love, less judgment. Would you stand with me as we close? Heavenly Father, I don't know anybody that's considering abortion right now. At least I don't know that they are considering it if I do know them. I'm not sure how to help that need. I don't know what ways there are to reach out. There's confidentialities, of course. We aren't allowed to have that kind of information, which is right. We shouldn't get that without their giving it. But Lord, you can direct us to the people in need. I know there's ways that we can be involved in helping families, young people, children. And you've put a big challenge out today. I know it's a hard challenge. And some will say there's just no possible way. And I get that. But Lord, I was one of those guys. I had plans. I had different views of what I would be doing. And you said no. And I'm good with that. And I'm actually glad. I'm glad for how you've led me away from my selfishness and towards your love. And I know it's going to be a struggle tomorrow again. And I hope I get better at it, because it'll probably happen the day after until I'm completely dead to myself. We all need to take that journey to be less about us and more about you. Lead us, Lord, I pray, in this culture of where there's so much anger, so much hurt around this one issue. Lord, lead us in a way that we can show our love and not just be perceived as judge and jury. I pray your blessing on each and every one as we go into our mission field this week, that we will find ways to be used by you in loving people. We give you thanks and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week, a safe, wonderful 4th celebration. Amen.